Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, as we've heard, the outbreak of war between Israel and Hamas has added another layer of complexity, but there has been a ceasefire called that took place just last night, announced by U.S. President Joe Biden. Of course, we have yet to see how this will continue to be received and, of course, the impact that it will have on the markets, but there are some broad-based scenarios that have come into play and which economists have worked on. To tell us more, we join on the line by senior economist at PwC, Bandi Pai, to help us unpack the relevance and importance of this new announcement. Bandi, such a pleasure to have you with us, and all the best for 2025.
You too. It's so good to speak to you, and happy new year, and the same to the listeners.
Thank you. This kind of news when it comes to politics, I think perhaps let's start the basis of the conversation there. We witnessed this really last year with the significant number of the global population headed to the polls for elections. We can't ever separate politics from economics, and even more so, conflict. Maybe let's just discuss that theme for a second to lay the foundation into our understanding of the importance of the ceasefire announcement that took place yesterday.
So it's quite important because obviously it really relates to what we know as risks. Because remember, you know, success of any economy, remember when we think about economics, we think about planning, we think about outcomes. And those plans really obviously are vulnerable to any disruptions that may happen. And politics tends to be quite disruptive. And that's something that we've seen for quite a while. I think even when you reflect, one of the key ones that we've seen in recent history has been that disruption that we saw between Russia and Ukraine. That really, for all intents and purposes, disrupted, you know, global value chains. It disrupted, you know, from logistics to production, to food systems, to all sorts of things, energy, as you understood it. So, you know, when you think about trade patterns, when you think about investments, and some of those outcomes that we saw, you know, sanctions. So they can be very, very disruptive. And that's really the key things that, you know, everyone comes up in the year and say, you know, as we're all saying, this is going to be a good year. You know, we are planning things. We have we've got outcomes that we want. We've got set up policies. But unfortunately, geopolitics can disrupt all of that. And that's the risk that it brings. And I think that's really what we are trying to talk about when we're thinking about politics, you know, so you can't actually avoid it.
That's true. We certainly can't avoid it, and we see its impact on our livelihoods on a day-to-day basis. And maybe let's just talk about what we see regarding Israel and Hamas and the ceasefire that's been called, and maybe with a strong focus on the kind of natural resources and commodities that typically come out of that region.
The key thing here is probably, and I think a lot of people are talking about, is really more the region rather than the two countries, because the two of them are not particularly big countries. They certainly are not big productive countries, for example, in terms of, you know, the mineral sphere, but the two of them, the trade that comes from them. But certainly the regional impact that they have is what is of real concern. And many people will tell you that the big risk here is that that conflict that is between these two, in that really limited piece of land, actually has regional implications. We know in terms of obviously the Middle East in particular, and that is a big area where we have, you know, particularly oil, a commodity that is very important for energy, for transport, for food systems. And so all of that is important. And many of us are thinking, for example, certainly if we think in the South African context, we've seen energy prices deteriorate over time because of the favorable, I guess, before the last few days, a favorable exchange rate, a favorable oil price, and therefore, you know, that actually coming through in the ways that it does. So, and those import prices. So if there's a disruption there that actually can disrupt, you know, the system, we are likely to see an upsurge, and that could actually be very hurtful for us and but for the global environment as a whole. And we already know, of course, that the disruption that we've seen from Russia has been big enough, and we would not want a fallout in the Middle East, where, for example, those big countries could find themselves engaged fully here, including perhaps that could even include the US and any other country that may participate in a major fallout. And that's really the risk that actually is much broader than that very small area that we call, you know, Israel, I guess, and Palestine.
got you. Is there broader risk here as well if we take a look at some of the countries in the region? And I'm thinking of Iran here, as it's been mentioned that it is a key newcomer or interested in becoming a part of the BRICS group of nations. So the speculation there.
It's an interesting, yeah. Look, I mean, that's an interesting one, because also one of the key things that really has come up, especially from the World Trade Organization, they've really estimated that, you know, the disruption that we see in terms of, you know, the geopolitics between countries or between any two countries. So one thinks about, for example, what we are worried about, the fallout perhaps between the U.S. and China, that can have disruptions in investment flows, and yes, that could actually undermine that. The fallout between us, perhaps South Africa, and the U.S. because of this, South Africa's relationship with Iran could not just disrupt, you know, just good relations, but also trade. Remember, we'll also have talked about, there's been a big discussion around AGOA, but that probably also sours perhaps some of the discussions and makes people a little bit wary, because remember, these kinds of things are also can affect sentiment. So more than just sort of disrupting what is currently happening, we are also have been looking ahead to better times in terms of increased trade, increased investment. Mm. And when people see those things happening, they tend to hold back because it changes their sentiment. They sort of hold back and say, let's look at this thing. Let's watch it play out. And once investors do that, once analysts do that, then, of course, we don't see the progress that we want, because, unfortunately, economies don't grow on what we already have. They also grow on prospects and what we could actually have, new opportunities, new prospects. And whenever there are disruptions like that, whenever there are tensions between nations, there are tensions between governments, people tend to hold back as they watch what the outcomes will be. And that usually, that holding back is something that can be quite undermining in terms of growth prospects and prosperity. So that is something that, of course, is something of concern, because once, as people are watching now and saying, look, we are seeing this BRICS environment coming up, and many people will say it's a good thing, but some people will say, yes, we are worried about it. And it is in those ones who are concerned about the tension where we see, obviously, people holding back. And those who may take advantage, of course, sometimes do at maybe a reasonably higher request for rates of return. So somebody will say, look, I think there's still opportunity there, but I'm thinking if the risk is high, maybe I should take a little bit of a higher premium. It's hardly something that's happening at the moment, but it is something that a lot of people are starting to worry about and be concerned about. And that's something that obviously may undermine some of the progress that we've seen.
My goodness, Kanti, seems like it's going to be yet another year of various probabilities, lots of volatility, uncertainty, all the catchphrases, right?
Absolutely. And I think we should get used to that. That's the kind of world. So all leaders of businesses, all individuals should really settle themselves to the idea that we are now in a volatile world, in a brittle world, and that, you know, we have to build some sense of understanding and knowing that that's the world. And so one has to actually sort of master enough knowledge, master enough courage, and also the ability to see how you become resilient and how you will navigate through this. Because I think, that we are going to see volatility for some time to come.
100%. Sure. Kanti, always a pleasure speaking to you, sir. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's Kanti Pai, who's a senior economist at PwC.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.